Chapter 18. When I emerged on deck from the dark hold, the very perfection of the day, bright sun, dazzling blue sky, clouds both full and white, made me shade my eyes. And though the Seahawk pitched and rolled gently upon the softest of seas, I felt as though my legs would give way under me. For when I was able to look about, I saw that the captain had arranged a kind of courtroom. In the ship's waist, on the starboard side, he had assembled the crew in two rows, some sitting on the deck, the rest standing behind the front rank. Before them, atop the central cargo hatch, a chair had been placed. The captain hurried me past the crew, none of whom would look me in the eye, and instructed me to sit in the chair, saying it would serve as the prisoner's dock. Now he took his place in one of his fine cabin chairs. It had been set up high behind the quarter-deck rail, a rail that he pounded sharply with the butt of his pistol. "I proclaim this court to be in session in strict accordance with the law," he said. "Considering the overwhelming evidence against the accused, it needn't be held at all. But as I have told Miss Doyle, she will enjoy the benefit of my generosity." So saying, he now took up his Bible, and though he had just seated himself, rose abruptly and brought it down to the crew. It was Fisk he approached first. "Place your hand upon this," he demanded. Fisk did as he was ordered, but, clearly unnerved, touched the book as one might a hot plate. "Do you, Mr. Fisk," the captain intoned, "swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?"
Fisk hesitated. He glanced quickly at me.
"Do you?" Captain Jaggery pressed.
"Yes," Fisk replied finally in a hollow whisper. Satisfied, the captain went on to the next man, then the next, until he had sworn in the entire crew. From the solemnity that showed upon their faces, from their nervous fidgets and downcast eyes, it was clear to me that the men were mightily unsettled by the oath they had been made to take. They could not take the Bible lightly. But I was certain each of them believed, as I did, that the murder was done by Zachariah, whom they themselves had conspired to hide in the hold. It was to him they would remain steadfast, not me. They would tell the truth, but in such a way as to protect Zachariah. How could I disagree? Once Captain Jaggery had sworn in the crew, he approached me. I, too, laid my hand on his Bible. I, too, promised to tell the truth, even as I knew I would not speak it completely. The swearing done, the captain returned to his chair and again banged his pistol on the rail.
"Will the accused stand?" he said.
I stood.
"Before this court," he continued, "I, Andrew Jaggery, by my rightful authority as master of the Seahawk, charge you, Charlotte Doyle, with the unnatural murder of Samuel Hollybrass, late of Portsmouth, England, first mate on the Seahawk. Miss Doyle, how plead you?"
"Captain Jaggery," I tried to protest.
"How plead you, Miss Doyle?" he repeated sternly.
"I did not do it."
"Then you plead innocent."
"Yes, innocent."
"Miss Doyle," he asked,
with what I could have sworn was a slight smile about his lips,
"do you desire to withdraw your claim to being a member of this crew? That is to say, do you wish to hide behind your father's name, and thus avoid judgment by these men?"
I turned slightly so as to consider the crew. They were gazing at me intently, but offered nothing to help. Though I sensed a trap in the question, I was loath to abandon my trust in the men just when I most needed them.
"Miss Doyle, do you wish to be judged by these men or not?"